The title of the message is Joy. I'm not going to read as much as what is written in there, but that's okay. I guess I can change my mind if I would like. Again, I am asking the question, if you were God, how would you get a message to humanity? And that is a general series of this Advent season. I think I'll turn. And that's really what I see the Bible as a God's way of getting a message to humanity, whether or not we have listened to it or not. That's another whole different discussion. And so I picked out some things, stories in the Old Testament that stand out to me. And today it's about the giving of the law. Up until this point, we talked about the agreement that was given to Abraham, and then the calling of Moses, and now the giving of the law in the desert of Mount Sinai. And I'm going to read from Genesis 19, verse 3 to about 9. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you shall say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did in Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my commandment, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole world is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. A professor said to a student, "Can you think of a solution that would end unemployment?" "Yes, sir. I will put all the men on one island and all the women on another." "And what will they be doing then?" "Building boats." Today is the message is centered around joy. We have heard from Jesus that the words that it is more blessed to give than receive. And this is a time in which we give to bring joy to others as well as ourselves. We are a giving church. We are a giving people. But we are also a giving nation. We are one of the most charitable nations in the world, at least up until this point. That's what I've always heard. And if you don't have a gift to give that's wrapped in a present or whatever, you can just be nice. Just being nice this day in this time would be a gift. There are many good people in the world, you and me and many other people. I think we consider ourselves good people. So I would ask, don't let what you see around you steal your joy. And try not to take anybody else's joy away from them also. Just be nice this season. I think that would be a real good gift. But sadly, there are things that happen daily and weekly that begs one to ask the question, what are they thinking? Where are their heads? I consider a few events that happened this week. What is considered again to be affordable health care is now once again being challenged. I find that the idea that a military general who doesn't know that he shouldn't lie to the FBI, I found out to be when did lying become a tool of protection? But sadly, it has been around with us ever since the beginning of time. Another thing, a company is making baby powder, who knew its product had a cancer-causing agent in its product since the 70s and does nothing. Where are people's heads these days? Do we know what the truth is if we saw it or heard it? What is the truth? I listened to some news this morning on Saturday, and I listen to a lot of news off and on. Sometimes I get sick, I just can't stand it anymore, and I have to change it to something else. Then I listen to educational tapes and what have you, music. What is the truth today? There's so many opinions and so many different ways of seeing something. It's just unbelievable. I saw on Facebook a post that said this that made me kind of chuckle. When aliens fly their spaceships past the Earth, they roll up their windows and lock their doors. I said, hey, that's a pretty good one there. I really can't blame them, can you, sometimes? I mean, they're, like I said, there's a lot of good things going on in this world. There's no question about it. There's a lot of good people and a lot of good things happen. And for some reason, that don't seem to be lifted up in the way that it should. And I wonder why at times God would even want to care about humanity. Why does he want to care about humanity? Why would he want to get a message to us? But I see the Bible as a story of how God is caring and looking out for humanity and does have a plan. But I think sometimes we have a narrower view, or a too narrow of a view of what things, God's plan in a way. Like in Christmas seasons, I said, I think we concentrate too much on the manger and the baby laying in the manger. But there's a much broader story to the whole picture. And it started several thousand years ago. I heard a quote, or read a quote this week. How does an ant know it's riding on the back of an elephant unless it can rise up off the back and see that it is an elephant? Most of the time, it's busy living in one of the valleys of the ripples of the elephant's skin. Sometimes it's difficult to see the big picture. We're so just busy living our daily lives, and it takes up all of our energy. Many people in the world don't even have their basic needs, such as food and water. Buzz Lightyear's in Star Commander of the Toy Story, I watched that this weekend, to infinity and beyond. I love that quote. I just love that quote. And I did a little research on what it really meant. It was within the story, correct me if I'm wrong, it was to define one's love for another. It's to infinity and beyond. And I see that as God's love towards us. Sometimes it's difficult to see God's love towards all of humanity. We can see that as to infinity and beyond. God's going to love us no matter what, for some reason. And I think that's a special gift. And this is the time of the year that we celebrate that. But we are like ants riding on the back of an elephant. We don't really know that we are riding on the back of an elephant. Sometimes it's difficult to see God's love in our daily lives, in our daily events in our lives, in the world around us. Sometimes we just want to roll up our windows and lock our doors and live our lives. Yes, maybe it's cold outside. But I say, roll down the windows, put down the top, and let the sun in this Christmas season. There's enough mystery to go around in these stories. I heard a quote from another movie I watched, The Polar Express, and the conductor on there said, maybe the more real things in life are the things we can't see. I think that's true. It really hit me. Could God have picked another race of people to bring a message towards to humanity? Which group would he have used? Which group would you have chosen? The Romans, the Greeks, the Egyptians? Which group would you have used to give a message? How would you have given a message to humanity? How would you brought it so that humanity would? see and understand a bigger picture. The story goes on and gives that I read this morning about the laws in which we were given to Moses. Many of them, I think we don't, a lot of, especially the first couple, we don't necessarily keep. Some of them I wonder. Paul, to the letter to the second Corinthians, says, the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So I ask the question, why give the law to start off with? He goes on to make the argument that unless you have a law to hold up, you're not going to know what you did wrong. And isn't that the case in this country, in many countries? We have a body of laws in which we hold up as to being the truth, in which we measure people. If you break the law, then you have to pay the punishment. There are a few people who in this week got sentenced for lying. They had to pay the price. I still can't wonder why, how lying got to be such a way of life in this administration. When did it become right? Paul goes on to say that without the letter of the law, or I ask the question, without the letter of the law, would we know what life is? Yes, I could talk about all the different laws, the 613 laws, and some of them we actually use today. If you read them, I went through and read some of them this week. Look them up. There's 613 that way I understand that come out of the Bible. There's a lot more written outside of that, midrashes and what have you, that are written by the Jewish people. They have a body of laws in which when you do something, they go back to this body of laws and look to see what is the punishment or what should be done. I have learned in the past here in the last several months or so that, yes, we have the rights, we have a Bill of Rights, but exercising that Bill of Rights sometimes comes with strings. The same way with the Jewish law, it came with strings. And by the time it got to Jesus' time, it was held up against people so hard that they could hardly live their daily lives. Galatians, which explains a lot of things, I'll get to it. I want to look at it for a minute. Paul makes a really good argument, as far as I'm concerned, about the spirit of the law. He says we are to live by faith, not by the letter of the law. Why then was the law given for all? He asked the very question I asked. Why was the law given at all? If we are to have, to live by the Spirit. It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise refers has come. It was referring to when Jesus comes. It was a story in transgression. There was a lot of events in the past. We don't realize that the thousands of years of when Abraham lived and when the law was given until we live today. There's been a lot of changes in how the world operates and the way governments act. Well, I don't know about that, but the way knowledge has been expanded and understood. We think that it may have happened a short time ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, and somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 years to 2,000 years was when Abraham lived. Who knows exactly? I'm not sure exactly if I do know exactly. But it's been a long time. And then it goes on to say the law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. I find that to be very interesting. Paul says that the law was given to the Israelite people through an angel. Again, we go back to the argument of who really gave them. How was communication done to us? We see angels as God, and really, I guess we could see that. But Paul, this is not the only place, as far as I can remember, that he refers to the law being given to the Israelite people by angels, by messengers. And Moses was a mediator in between. A mediator, however, implies that there's more than one party. But God is one. Here again, we add the idea God is one. It should be capitalized. God is an infinite idea or an infinite spirit. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not, he says. It wasn't. It was a progression of a story. It was a progression of events leading up until what we call Christmas today. If the law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. Paul makes an argument all over and over and over again that the law did not make people righteous. Just because you keep a whole body of laws does not make you a good person. It's out of the spirit in which you do things. It is what comes out of the heart. Jesus took that law and put it, made it spiritual. He added a spiritual dimension to it. He made things move inside the heart. I can't really understand God's whole picture. I have no idea in the end what's going to happen to humanity. There's a whole array of ideas that people have hold up against the future. What will happen to humanity? There's prophecies, there's people talk about it. I do believe there's another step at some point in time in the future. What Jesus' return looks like, I don't know. I can't really answer that. I see Jesus' return for me as when I pass from this life to the next. Is there going to be some global catastrophe in which everything ends in a calamity? And I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows. I don't think we should really be concerned about that so much. I think we should have joy in our hearts that God has remembered us and even thinks about us and cares about us. And this is the time of the season in which we celebrate that great gift that God has given to us. And we should have joy in our hearts. So again, I will begin end as I began. There are many good people in this world. There are many good things that are happening. Don't be depressed in this time of the year. Don't add to someone's difficulty. Just be nice. That is a gift. Amen.
The Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the
celebration of Jesus' birthday party. We recall now in the quiet recesses of our minds the thrill of receiving your message of salvation. As we open ourselves again to this holy wonder, accept these gifts. May the ministries that these gifts support invite others to receive the saving message of the Christ child. In his name we pray. Amen.